Book 1. The Fleet. The sea, this truth must be confessed, has no generosity, no display of manly qualities, courage, hardihood, endurance, faithfulness, has ever been known to touch its irresponsible consciousness of power. Joseph Conrad, The Mirror of the Sea. Chapter 1.
The clipped words slid out of the judge advocate's mouth as if slipped through a mail slot. Admiral, did you consider that you had timely warning, or did you know that a severe storm was approaching around the 16th and 17th of December? William Frederick Halsey, Jr. surveyed the wardroom of the destroyer tender USS Cascade. Seated in hardback chairs to his left were two vice admirals and a rear admiral, each clad in crisp, starched khakis, their postures erect as jackstaffs. The stenographer sat on his right, four chief yeomen with their backs to him, recording testimony as it was given. A Marine colonel occupied the table directly opposite Halsey, who undoubtedly noted the green felt cloth draped over it. A court-martial in the U.S. Navy had long been referred to as sitting at the end of the long green table. This, however, was no court-martial, merely a court of inquiry. Nearly 800 sailors from the United States Third Fleet had perished during a typhoon, almost three times the number of men who died at the Battle of Midway. The catastrophe was not, as some of Halsey's rivals suggested, Custer at the Little Bighorn. But still, there were questions. The mood in the wardroom was somber, if polite. It was December 28th, the dying wick of 1944, on a sun-splashed morning on Ulithi Atoll. I did not have timely warning, Halsey answered in a clear, resonant voice sharp enough to cut falling silk. I'll put it another way. I had no warning. The Navy's judge advocate pressed on. There has been testimony from other commanders that the local conditions indicated the approach of the storm. Was that evident to you? Although he was never to speak of it for the rest of his life, this could well have been the moment Admiral Halsey determined his need for legal counsel. Scuttlebutt had it that over dinner the previous evening, he had joked to a friend, "Somebody ought to be court-martialed for this, either me or the Bureau of Ships." Yet now he answered the judge advocate's queries with a mixture of insouciance and ignorance. It was quite obvious, he said, that he needed his destroyers completely refueled in order to return as soon as possible to continue his strikes on Luzon. High seas be damned. The implication was clear. There was a war on. General MacArthur was waiting. But Halsey also admitted to having no literal idea where the storm was heading, or whether, in fact, it was a severe storm or merely a local disturbance. "I am no weather expert," he said. No, he was Bull Halsey, the U.S. Navy's Patton of the Pacific, the man who boasted he would ride the Emperor's white horse into Tokyo. And this was humiliating. Of all the naval heroes of World War II, none strode so large a stage as Admiral William Halsey. The self-proclaimed scion of seafarers and adventurers, big, violent men, impatient of the law and prone to strong drink and strong language, Halsey sailed determinedly in their wake. By December 1944, the obscure skipper, whose command of the destroyer USS Shaw during the First World War had merited the Navy Cross, was, at 62 years old, not only the most famous man in the United States Navy, but the most famous living naval officer in the world. He had borne the Allied cause on his shoulders during the war's first flickering hours, and this would not soon be forgotten. Halsey's raids on the enemy-held Marshall and Gilbert Islands less than 2 months after Pearl Harbor were America's first offensive assaults of the war. 12 weeks later, in April 1942, his daring transport of Colonel Jimmy Doolittle's bombers to within hailing distance of Tokyo, though but a tactical and strategic pinprick, was, as one newspaper correspondent wrote, a dose of vitamin B-25 for a nation still staggering under the trauma of the Japanese sneak attack. Halsey's ascent was serendipitous. In the early miasma of World War II, America needed a hero. Halsey was it. His profile was as familiar to Americans as Clark Gable's or Gary Cooper's. And such was his fame that on a visit home to attend a stateside reception, a woman broke through the receiving line, clasped